So I'd like to begin by going to the book of John, the Gospel according to John, the first few verses in the first chapter. This is where John begins the Gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he writes thusly. He says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Comprehended there means resisted it not. Was not able to prevent it from going forth where it would go. And that's how John begins the gospel. This is where he unfolds by the Spirit of God, which has been preserved for us. And it would serve us well to spend time thinking about what these scriptures tell us about the Lord Jesus Christ. But isn't it interesting that in the beginning he says the Word, you know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the Word, which in the Greek there means the Logos. We've all heard that, right? The Logos. This is really, 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 really important. Because you see, the Logos, the concept of the Logos, is that which brings forth order out of chaos. Okay. The Logos, the idea of the Logos is that entity, that agency, that being that transforms darkness into light, that takes formlessness into form, that takes that which is chaotic into that which is ordered and beautiful and useful. There's a lot of things in the Scripture that talk about that. But before we go further with that, I'd like to direct you to another set of Scriptures that are obviously directly referred to by this. I'd like us to go back to Genesis, the very first of the Old Testament. Okay, I've been thinking about the Old Testament and the New Testament, and they're both very important. The Old Testament tells us about those things that are to come. The Apostle Paul said that the law, and then that he meant broadly, was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, to teach us about Christ. I'd like to give you an analogy that occurred to me this morning, and that is that the Old Testament is sort of like elementary school. Okay, like when you were young and you needed to learn certain basic concepts. You needed to learn what addition was. You needed to learn your multiplication tables. You needed to learn certain words. And then you graduated to high school, and you saw the same concepts more deeply. Now you're studying geometry. Now you're studying history. In elementary school, you might have read Dr. Seuss, which is a very good series, by the way. But when you get to high school, hopefully you're reading Shakespeare or something a little bit more substantive. They're still the same, you see. And by that, I'm not saying that the Old Testament is somehow less sophisticated. I'm just saying that from an analogy standpoint, we need to understand that there are ideas and principles about God that are introduced in the Old Testament, looking forward to the time when the true Logos would come and enlighten us, and we would understand these things. So the book of Genesis begins thusly, and I just want to read the first couple of verses. It says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." In this presentation to us, Moses writes by the Spirit of God, a record to us that we can understand how it is that God brought forth orderly and systematically the natural world that is around us. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Do you know what that literally means? It literally means this. In the beginning, God created the ground and He created the sky. That's what that means. from the standpoint of a human standing up on here. And think about this. From the time you were 3 or 4 years old and you walked outside, you perceived the world thusly. There were things down here. There was dirt. I just saw some mountains. There are trees. There are things that are here. God, it says, God created that. And then you look up and, you know, there's air and there's birds flying through it and there's clouds. There's a sun and a moon. At night, there's stars and so on. And it says, God created that too. In the beginning, God created the earth and the sky. He created all that there is. And now he begins to tell us how it was that God created it. And this is very interesting, that the first thing that we see is that when God originally began this creation, it was in a state of chaos. It was in a state of formlessness. It says the earth was without form, and it was void, it was empty. Okay, and it says that the darkness was upon the spirit of the deep. Deep there refers to waters. Think of a deep ocean. And it's dark. And I don't know if it was a literal ocean or not. This is the imagery, though, that is given, interestingly enough, that when, as God began the creation process, there was something that was in a state of chaos. Do you see that? Do you guys agree with me? That's what verse 2 says. The earth was without form. Isn't that interesting? Why? You know, I mean, one of the things we might say is, why didn't God just say, boom, there it is, you know? He didn't. Even in the very act of creation, he began with a state of this creation in a disordered form, in a chaotic form. And that doesn't necessarily mean an evil form, obviously. But there is something about God that he's showing us about his essential nature and about his essential purpose that he began the creation thusly. So then what happened after that? What was the very next thing that happened? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 3. And God said, God spoke, logos, spoken. This is Jesus Christ. This is our Savior speaking. This is literally what's going on. Okay? God said, let there be light. And there was light. Boom. Light. It wasn't the sun. The sun didn't get created until day 4. But there was light. Okay? And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. In other words, he made a distinction between the light and the darkness. He shined upon where before it was darkness, now there is light. There is order. There's beginning to see order. There's beginning to see, because as he goes forward, he's going to start bringing forth more elements of order into this creation. You see, he's gonna pull the dry ground out of the waters in the coming days. He's gonna populate the ground with plants. He's gonna fill the sky with birds, and he's gonna fill the sea with fishes, and then on the dry land he's gonna bring forth all sorts of animals, and ultimately he's gonna bring forth man, which is us. Okay? This is an orderly process that God does. God brings forth from chaos, he brings forth order. Do you see that? This is what God is teaching us in this creation. If we spend all our time saying, how did this happen? Was it a billion years or was it a 24-hour day? God, you can spend your time on that and that's fine, but you're really missing the whole point. Okay? Because the things going on in this creation are not going on now. So, you know, just believe God. I believe this happened. I mean, Jesus spoke of it. But the essential point is that God is one who brings forth order from chaos. Okay? He brings forth light from darkness. And he divides the day. Right? He says he divided them. And in verse 5 he says, and light, God called the light day, and darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Every day that you live on this earth, God is reteaching you this same principle. That God is both the God of light and he is the God of darkness. Y'all remember Brother Charlie Head would always get stumbled. He would always stumble over Isaiah 45 and 7. Remember that? Does anybody remember that? It was always bothering him that it says that God creates light and he creates darkness, he creates peace and he brings evil. And he always stumbled over that. I'm beginning to understand what Charlie was really saying. Charlie, you know, the word evil sometimes means wickedness, and that's what we normally think. We need to have a broader concept of that, though. It certainly does mean that, but it can also mean trouble. It can also mean chaos in our lives. Okay? And the last point I want to make before I sit down, because again, I wanted to introduce this subject to you. I want you to understand this has a very practical aspect to our lives. First of all, we need to understand that describing Jesus Christ as the Logos, as the one who brings forth light out of darkness, we need to understand that that's essential to our salvation. The book of Colossians, for example, says God who called us, who translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son, into the marvelous kingdom of His dear Son, into the kingdom of light. God has, from a moral standpoint, has brought us forth from a state of darkness in sin into the state of light, into His glorious light. Right? Everybody's with that. But as we try to live virtuous lives, we need to understand that there's still, in a sense, there's still darkness in our lives. Okay, and I'm not talking about evil necessarily. That we need to understand that in order for us to be walking as children of God, we need to understand that in our lives we have both light and darkness. There's both order. There's things that we know, but we have to have a little bit of this chaos in our life. Now, bear with me, stick with me. I'm not talking about evil. I'm not talking about sin. But it's kind of like the idea of going out. It's the excitement that we have of unknown. We have a new child that's been born into our congregation. There's a lot of hope that we have for that child. You know, we don't know how he's going to turn out. We don't know how things are going to go, right? We're excited about his future, and we're excited about the things that are going to happen. That is chaos in a sense. You see, it's unknown. We don't know yet how things are going to go. And we as people have to have a little bit of that in our lives, and God has ordered it that way. Let me say it to you another way, okay? Suppose you took a person and you had so much order in their life that you gave them all the money they could ever want. I'm talking about here on earth. I'm not talking about heaven. But I'm talking about here on earth. And you gave somebody all the money they could possibly want. And they have all the food that they want and all the clothing. They can buy anything that they want. They can do anything. They don't have to work. They can just sit around every day they wake up and they can do whatever they want. There is no chaos or anything in their life. There's everything is taken care of. We all, in a sense, kind of dream of that, right? I mean, that's why people go to the casino. That's why people, try to win the lottery. But you would destroy that person. Don't you see that? Do you guys understand? I mean, you want to ruin somebody. You want to spoil a child. Give them everything that they ever want and don't let them have any problems. Don't let them have any struggles. Don't let them have any issues. Don't let them have any dreams. Don't let them go forward. If you do that, you would destroy someone. But we have to have this in our lives. And the reason I say that is this, and this is the closing, and I realize that I'm really kind of leaving a lot of untied threads here, but as I said, I'm just introducing a subject. I want you to be thinking about this so we can explore this. I'm convinced that living a virtuous life in Jesus Christ is managing the amount of chaos in your life. And that chaos can be sin, obviously, but it can also be just this unsettled nature of our lives. So many of these people running around in the world today, you know, these transgenders, these homosexuals, these people who want to turn everything over, what they're trying to do is they say, let's introduce more darkness, let's introduce more chaos into life and we'll be happy. And the Bible says, no, don't do that. Don't do that. The Bible, especially the New Testament, instructs us to live virtuous lives, ordered lives, following the Lord Jesus Christ, doing certain things. Part of the reason we do that is because we want to walk in the light of God and manage the amount of darkness in our lives. Because you'll be overcome with darkness if there's too much in your life. And if you disobey God, what you're doing is you're going back into the darkness. You're bringing more chaos into your life. You're living a chaotic life. And you cannot physiologically, neurologically, spiritually handle that. With this, I'll close. But just remember, when Job, who was a righteous, virtuous man, who lived before these words were written, okay, he lived before Moses. And remember that Satan desired to possess him and to take him, okay? And God gave him permission to do so. How did Satan attack him? Quickly, fastly, a whole lot of chaos, a whole lot of disorder, a whole lot of unknown, all at once. You know, he didn't just slowly take away his wealth. He didn't slowly drain his bank account. No, Satan engineered it specifically so that, bam, the Sabaeans have taken all your camels. Bam, these raiders have taken all your horses or your sheep. This other calamity happened. Oh, a tornado came and blew up the house and all your kids are dead all at once. God, Satan is the God of chaos. He's the God of darkness, okay? And he wants darkness in your life. And you will become overwhelmed with darkness in your life. And if you run your life, you can only handle so much chaos in your life. And if you fill your life with sin and you fill your life with walking away from God and you say, I'm going to do what I want to do, you're not leaving a lot of margin left, guys. When the natural things that happen in life come, you're going to be overwhelmed and you're going to be destroyed. Okay? I'm not saying you're going to go to hell, but you're going to sure find it here on earth. This is a fundamental principle that the scriptures teach us, that Jesus Christ is the Logos. And he's the one who brings light and order in our lives. He's the one who contains the darkness. He's the one who saves us from it and manages it and helps us to manage it. So I want us to think in those terms because this is the biblical view of how God presents the world. Jesus Christ is the light. He's the Logos. He's the Word. He's the one who speaks to us. And in the New Testament, he says, he came and he brought us light. You know, he became flesh and he dwelt among us and we beheld his glory, even as the glory of the only begotten Son of God. Let us look to that light, Jesus Christ, as the very foundation of our light and order. Recognize that there's going to be chaos. Jesus said, you're going to have troubles. You're going to have tribulations in this world. But be of good cheer. I have overcome this world. So with that, I'm going to step aside and ask Brother Alan to come forward and fill the remainder of the place.
We have many, many things this morning that Brother Randy's thoughts have brought to our minds, but I want to try to bring some of these things over to where we are now. If I was going to try to convince somebody that God exists, I mean, people don't believe in God. I mean, it's kind of hard for us to conceive that there's people in this world that do not believe in Jehovah. But they don't. And they believe in an evolutionary type theory. And I always thought about, Brother, the illustration that Brother Sonny Piles made one time. It's kind of, he said, these people that believe in this evolution, this great big bang theory, all of a sudden there was this big bang and everything just happened. He said it's kind of makes as much sense as you take this fine-tuned Swiss watch, I mean, that can keep time to the very nth second. You take that watch and you take all the pieces out and you just put them all together. I mean, take them all the springs and all of the little wheels and all these things out, and you put them all in your hand, and then you just throw them up in the air. Just throw them up in the air, and boom, they come into this fine-tuned, wonderful little watch that is so magnificently to the nth. I mean, that makes about as much sense as somebody believing that all of a sudden everything just started happening. Well, I want us to think about what Brother Andy spoke of first, but I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We could go to chapter 3, but I want us to think about what Brother Andy has said and he talked about the Old Testament being the ABCs. I'm not even, if that's ABCs, I don't know where I am. But when you think about not knowing anything at all, nothing. Let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and I'll try to bring some of these things to focus where Brother Andy was speaking to us about. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, neither handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Now, I can't communicate with you if you don't have a communicator. I mean, I heard somebody say one time there's all kinds of airwaves, and I mean there's radio waves, TV waves, short waves, cell phones, and all these things are all bumping around. They're all in here. Can you see any of them? We have to have a receiver in order to receive the messages. Now, there's a lot of times I miss messages because my little receiver doesn't beep loud enough. But the point here is this. Unless you have a receiver to receive these things, you're without form and void. Now, when you think, I want us to think about this, but it says, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Lost. And I'm not going to elaborate on that much, but it says, in whom the God, the small g, the God of this world, and Satan, amen, and he is the prince of darkness, as Brother Andy said. He is the one that began all of our troubles in the Garden of Eden, was started by this prince of darkness. And he came to Adam and Eve, and it says, by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death is passed upon all men for all have sinned. Therefore, from the time of the, unless something happens between their conception and their death, they will die in that darkness. Okay? There has to be something happen. And as we look there in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God. Not in the beginning of God, but in the beginning, God. Well, where did God come from? He's always been. He's never not been. But in the beginning, God, in the beginning of what? In the beginning of time. In the beginning of time didn't exist before Genesis 1:1, but God existed before Genesis 1:1. Obviously, we know that there was a covenant made and he talks about things that happened before the foundation of the world. I want you to, in your mind, tell me how you can go back before Genesis 1:1. You can't go there except it tells us in this book that some things happened before the world began. And there was a covenant made with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit before the foundation of the world, before God ever said, let there be light. God was there, and he had some things in mind. He said, "He says, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." Everything that God did, he had you in mind. You were in his thoughts before he ever said, let there be light. Now, we can call that a plan. We certainly believe that when God does something, he had something in mind. When we have a plan, I mean, we're going to build a building or whatever, there must be something. How big are you going to make it? What's it going to be made of? What's the materials? All this. We have a plan in mind. We have something in mind before. You think God just haphazardly just did all this stuff? He just, well, I'll create this and see what happens. God knew what was going to happen before he did it. And it all happened according to his purpose. His purpose. Okay. Now then, let's go on. If our gospel be hid. Now, what's the gospel? That's the good news. That's the message. That's what we're trying to speak to you about. What Brother Andy brought to us is the message. It's the good news. It's that which God has given to you to hear and to understand what he's done for us. So when we look at this from this standpoint, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that don't have any light. They don't have anything. It's gone. They can't see it. Okay? It said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds. Now I want you to think about this. That Satan cannot blind your heart. God's in charge of your heart. But he can blind your mind. He can get into your mind and he can cause all kinds of things. He can cause you to doubt whether there isn't even a God. He can cause, if we follow after his ways, he will convince us that there is no God. That's what the fool said. And he said, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That's what he wants us to believe. And he is totally happy to have all of those in darkness. But God had a different plan in mind. Now notice what he said. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light. The gospel doesn't bring life. It brings light. He said, we're very familiar with the text over in 2 Timothy. It said, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in, where? In Christ Jesus. When? Before the foundation of the world. He said, all of these things happen in God's mind before the foundation of the world. But he said, if our gospel be hid, well, who's it hid to? Those that are lost. Those that are lost. But he says, and he goes on in that 2 Timothy, he said, God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, was given to us in Christ Jesus, who hath abolished death and brought life. Listen, he hath abolished death. How can you do that? By bearing in his body your sins. The cause of death is sin. And Jesus bore our sins, therefore he bore our death. Right? Didn't that make sense? He said, who hath abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It all comes, but you have to have something in here. You have to have a receiver in order to receive it. Now, if we go out of here and we turn off all the lights in here and we close all the lights and it's just dark as pitch in here, does that mean that nothing's in here? If we turn on the light, we see everybody. But we can't see without the light. And we're going to get a little bit more into that. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. Now notice this, Brother Andy. Who is the image of God should shine unto them. He is the very, he said nobody's ever seen God at any time. Well, God sent his son, and he is the very image of God. If you want to see God, you want to know what God, who is God and what does, who is God? Where did he come from? Well, first of all, he didn't come from anywhere. He's always been. Okay? But it says Jesus, his son, Jesus Christ, is the very image of the Father. He said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Lest the light, now God, the Satan, the ruler of darkness, does not want us to see Jesus. He doesn't. Therefore, he confuses us. He brings all kinds of error into our minds, and he teaches us things. And he teaches us through our natural carnal mind. You see, the carnal mind, it's enmity against God. It's enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. So if we're going to communicate with God, we've got to have something else. Now this is the whole point of this. For we preach not ourselves. I don't preach me. The Apostle Paul said, was I baptized in your name? he said, we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves are servants for Jesus' sake. Now notice this verse. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He commanded it. He said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. He said, the same God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness in Genesis 1 is the same one that commands the light to shine out of darkness into our dark soul. Now I want you to notice, he said, you were sometimes darkness. He didn't say you were in darkness. And sometimes we get in darkness and we need light. But he said, you were darkness. You were darkness itself. Now, I've been in, out in Carlsbad Cavern before, and if you ever have the opportunity to go there, and they can take you down into there where there's absolutely no light whatsoever. And they turn the light, all the lights off. And you can hold your hand just like this in front of you, and you can't see anything. It's total darkness. I want you to try to imagine in your heart what it means to be, it says, and he created the heavens and the earth. I mean, he just did it. But it says they were without form and void. Without form and void. I can't imagine. Everything has form. And the word void means it was totally, there was, and like Brother Andy said, it was total chaos. There was no order there. But he says, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. The same God that did that has shined in our hearts. Shined in our hearts. For what purpose? To give the light. You see, the light, and we go back to John 1, it says, Jesus was the light. John the Baptist was not the light. He said, I came to bear witness of the light. He is the light. Capital L. He is the light. I believe, brothers and sisters, when it says, he said, he didn't create that light, by the way. It didn't say he created the light in that one. He said, let there be light. And he brought it forth. I believe that the light there, and it could not have been the moon, the stars, and the sky, because they were not created until day 4. So on the very first day, there was something there, and it was the manifestation of God himself. God cannot exist, brothers and sisters. He cannot be manifested anywhere unless there's light. If God's there, there's light. And so the very presence of God was the light on the first day. And I believe, if we look at this from the standpoint that the Apostle Paul, he said when he was there on the road to Damascus, he said there was a great light that shone round about him. And that light, he said he was in darkness. But the light that shone, it was brighter. I want you to understand this. We can look at the sun, and it'll burn your retina if you look at it. But he said there was a light that shone round about him that was above the brightness of the noonday sun. The sun that we're talking about, the S-O-N, is brighter than the S-U-N that's in heaven. The S-O-N is the light of God. He's the light of the world. He's the light of the universe. And God created the minor light, which is the S-U-N. The S-O-N is the light that is brighter than the creation of that sun that's in the heaven. Because, and by the way, the moon, We're kind of like the moon. The moon has no light of its own. The only light that the moon has is a reflection of the sun. And our lights, if we have any light at all, it's a reflection of what has been shined onto us and in us. Now, notice this. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge. 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 What's knowledge? This is the book of knowledge. I mean, what is knowledge? Well, knowledge is the adding up of, it's the learning of facts. It's gathering a lot of knowledge. And there's a lot of people in the universities in the world that have all kinds of knowledge. But what do they do with it? That's the question. What are you going to do with all that knowledge you have? You see, I believe that there's something that goes with knowledge, and it's called wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. If he said, if any man lack wisdom, where'd you get it? He said, let him ask of God, who he will give you all these things and upbraideth not. If any man, you say, well, I don't understand it. Well, you got knowledge, but you don't have wisdom. If you have wisdom, ask God and he'll give you wisdom. So I don't understand this. Ask God. Because he is the storehouse of wisdom and knowledge. But we have all this knowledge, but we need to know what to do with it. What are we going to do? I mean, what good does it do for you to know all these things if you don't do something with it? And that's the point. that Brother Randy was making. We have this great blessing, this wonderful gift of God inside. He said over there in this same book, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, he said, if any man be in Christ, what? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. You see, we are created in Christ Jesus. That's what he said in Ephesians chapter 1. We are his workmanship. Just like he created the universe out there, he created a new creature, and it's inside of us. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what purpose? Unto good works. He didn't just put us here on this earth to just sit back and do nothing. We are to be active in our service to him. We cannot just sit back and say, well, that's good. That's good. What are you going to do with all of this? You see, and I thought about this so many times. During the week, we had so many wonderful sermons. Absolutely wonderful sermons and gracious gifts that were brought to us during our associational meeting. Now, that's a wonderful thing to have all those sermons. But what are you going to do with them? You say, well, that was a good time, wasn't it? Yay, let's go back and do our other things. But we need to be able to apply the Word of God to our life. If not, then it's useless. So we need, that's why he said that, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure. Treasure. What is it, treasure? What is it that we have? Christ in you. That is so incomprehensible to the natural mind that God can actually live inside of you. But we know that. How do I know that? Well, I know, first of all, because there's something inside of me that resonates when I hear it. It said the Spirit of God bears witness with my spirit that, hey, this is true. Can you imagine this is all true? That this is not theory? This is not the theory of creation. This is the truth about creation. And all this other stuff is just fluff. There's no such thing as a, well, it may have been a great big bang, but the great big bang was caused by the Creator. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. You see, did you understand where we came from? Did you understand how we got here? It said God, he took a clump of dirt and he formed you out of the dirt. You are dirt. Does that really make you feel good? You're just a big old clod of dirt. In another place he said you're grass. You were created out of what God had already created. You were creatures of God. You were created. He said he formed Adam of the dust of the ground. All right, there he is, his body. And I want you to understand that man in his natural state after the fall is just as dead as that dead body that's laying there. It has no life, zero life. Well, what happened? God breathed. That's what the word breath and the word wind are come from the same word. It's the Greek word pneuma or pneuma, which is the wind. It's the wind bloweth where it listeth. Well, God blew on Adam. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. All right, now he's a body and a spirit. He has, and it says, and he became a living soul. A soul. You see the difference between all of those other creatures? You know what? All of these other creatures, they have life. They have the spirit of life. God gave. There is no life outside of God. He is the giver of all life. Natural life, plant life, all animal life, any kind of life that you want to think about, God is the giver of it. He created all these plants, animals, and all these things. But the animals, the difference between, first of all, the difference between, we're not animals. People, you act like one sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. We have an animal, that carnal nature, but we're not, we are homo sapiens. Is that the right word? We're humans. God made us different than an animal. You know what the difference is? You have a living soul inside of you. You are body, your body, your soul, and your spirit. Those three. And that's in that sense, you're made in the, and that's one of the senses in which you were created in the image of God. You are created in His image. And if we go back now to this, and we're running out of time. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The whole point in all that is, you're made out of dirt. You're made out of everything that's inside. Did you know if you take the DNA and all these things together and you figure out there's all kinds of, there's the same things, the same elements, and the same materials that's in the dirt is in your body. I mean, the scientists ought to be able to figure out that something happened. How had all of this stuff that's in the ground out here get in me? Well, God created you out of the ground. You're earthy. You're earthen vessels. You're earth. You're made out of dirt. Not too glorifying to man, but that's the truth of the matter. And it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Now listen to this. This treasure is inside of you in your soul. You've been created in Christ. Why did he do this? He said that the excellency of the power, the creating power, the Word of God, that which is in, which was with God the Father before the foundation of the world, Jesus is the light. He is the Word. He is the One. He's the Logos of God. He is the, before all things, He existed. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You have no power outside of Him. But you see, He's given us all these wonderful things. And I got one more to go. And then I got to go to, you already quoted this. Colossians chapter 1. I think it's 1. Yes. Now, everything that Paul is going to say right here is exactly what Brother Randy said. Listen. You say, well, I didn't hear him say that. Well, listen, you'll hear it again. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet. That means He had made us suitable. That we're suitable to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in darkness? In light. You see, the light that shined out of darkness on the first day is the same light that shone round about the Apostle Paul, the same light that shines in our hearts and gives us the knowledge of God. Without that light, you're still darkness. How can you? You can't see. You are darkness. You're not in darkness. You are darkness. Nothing. Without form and void, nothing. Zero. Why can't we understand these principles? It says, who hath delivered us? That word delivered, it's the same word as saved. He said, He has saved us. What did He save us from? We need sometimes, brothers and sisters, we need to understand what we've been saved from. We've been saved from something and saved to something else. But we have been saved from darkness. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. We have been saved from a wrath that's coming upon the ungodly, evil world. You have been delivered from that. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Oh, if we could just get that. We have been delivered from the power of darkness. He said in 1 John, He says, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. We have something more powerful in us. I mean, Satan cannot. He cannot. You know, my mother used to say, well, if you keep doing that stuff, the devil's going to get you. No, he's not. The devil, he will not get you. He can't get you. The devil can't get you. My mother would tell me that so I'd quit doing those ugly things. He said, but the devil, that's really a lie of the devil. The devil can't get you. No man. Or the devil. He said, we are persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor things past, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. The devil can't get you. He can do some things. You know what he can do? He can blind your mind. He can cause you to see things. He can cause you to lose sight of God, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. The word translation means trans means across. Translation. This is a translation. We have a translation. It's translated from the New Testament is translated from Greek into English. The Old Testament is translated from Hebrew into English. Now I ask you this: what did the language have to do to get translated? You see, the whole point of this is that we were passive. There is nothing that we did to cause this thing to happen. God did it. And the one that has the power, the one that's active in this translation, is the translators, not the that which is translated. And we were translated, we were brought from darkness, we were brought from here to here by the power of God that said, let there be light. Now, brothers and sisters, that's awesome. That's awesome. Now, not only that, He translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We were brought from darkness to here, to light. In whom, in the Son, we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And there is a ton of preaching right there. But redemption means he's purchased us. He's bought us. And he bought us with his blood. That's the whole purpose of his coming. He came for the purpose to save his people from their sins. And he obeyed God's word. He did the things that that he was sent to do. And when it was at the end, he said, it's finished. And he says to the Father, Father, here they are, all that thou hast given me. I hadn't lost any. They're all here. He did it. And the word forgiveness is another most wonderful word. But the word forgiveness, in this sense, means putting away. If I forgive, if I have an offense against Brother Randy, and we go and we forgive one another, we put that away. That forgiveness that sin and that transgression is gone. It's back here. And he says in one verse, he said that he has separated us from our sins as far as the east is from the west. They're gone. They're not there. They're blotted out. They're gone. They don't exist. So if our sins don't exist, death doesn't exist. You understand that? Death is... He said he abolished death. What did he do? He abolished death and he brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. We got it. We got the gospel. Woo! I mean, you ought to be so happy about it. But it said, who is just Jesus Christ. No, it says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him, Genesis 1, John 1, by him were all things created that are in heaven. Everything that's in heaven, God created it. The sun, the moon, the stars. And you know, it says he flung the star. The star just kind of little finger jobs. He just said there. And I can't understand and I cannot comprehend a God that can just speak and things happen. But brothers and sisters, that's the one that we worship. That everything for by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, in visible and invisible, whether they be thrones and dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. The word consist means all things are held together by him. He is the glue. He is the only thing that is positive. One of these days he's going to wrap it all up. He is the head. He's the head. He's the head of all things. And he's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead. That in all things, he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. You see, God's purpose is that you and I mean, do you understand that He could have done all these magnificent, marvelous things and kept it a secret. I mean, there was a lot of stuff kept secret. But it's revealed now to us. It's a mystery. The mysteries are made known. And the mysteries are given to us through the gospel. And he could have kept all these things secret. But aren't you thankful this morning that he let us know about the things that he's done? You see, this is the good news. You can rejoice in this. You can, in your darkest, most terrible hour, you can call these things up and say, I am his and he is mine. Brethren, you have this treasure in there, inside of you, in your earthen vessel. What are you going to do with it? That's the question, Brother Randy. God bless.